T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Are right there on the playoff bubble in a battle with the Toronto Maple Leafs, trying to decide if they're buyers or sellers, but at the very least they're listening, right?
Could be a bit of both, by the way, as they straddle that line on the playoffs. And one name that's been quite intriguing in terms of being out there is Vincent Trocheck. Let me be clear in saying I don't believe the Panthers are going around phoning teams about Vincent Trocheck. But what is happening, and sources have confirmed, is that teams are phoning on the number two center for the Florida Panthers, and the Panthers don't really have any choice but to at least listen, because they are struggling so badly defensively that they could use a top four upgrade defensively. Maybe that's a deal they would do. He's got 2 more years on his contract at $4.75 million. Certainly not very likely that he moves, but they are listening.
Pierre LeBrun on the Panthers and listening to offers on Vincent Trocheck. We got late to the break because we were talking about driving cross-country. But here are your headlines. Sabres lost 7-4. Ottawa got 4 goals in 3 minutes and 29 seconds of the first period, and that changed things. Sabres were up 2-0 in the game. Brandon Montour scores a pair of goals. Huh? Showcasing him for the trade deadline. There you go. His name's coming up. I don't want to give up on Montour, personally. I mean, I've liked Montour for a long time, and I think he has a home. He's finally on the right side. He's been playing on the wrong side for a while. They've been, you know, moving him around anyway.
Seems like he and Miller, too. Like, both guys are Miller more so, because he was a healthy scratch so often as opposed to Montour. Seems like both guys are becoming more comfortable with their roles here on the team this season.
Yeah. Third loss to Ottawa this season. Sabres play Pittsburgh Saturday at 1. Toronto lost. Montreal lost as well. Trades. A couple of defensemen got traded. Not off the Sabres, though. Marco Scandella was traded for a second and a conditional fourth to St. Louis. Montreal retained half the salary. You may remember Marco Scandella as having been traded for a fourth-round pick. He was spun for a second last night. San Jose trades Brendan Dillon to Washington for a second and a conditional third, and Ottawa had traded Dylan DeMello to Winnipeg. So teams are picking up defensemen. The Sabres still haven't traded anybody off this roster other than the Scandella trade and waving Bogosian. Vegas is working on a deal for Alec Martinez, according to TSN and Bob McKenzie. Chad DeDominicis had tweeted out and reported yesterday that the Sabres and the Knights, Golden Knights, had been talking about a defenseman and maybe Jonathan Marchessault being available. So if Vegas gets a defenseman in Alec Martinez, that might mean that Vegas is out of the mix for a Sabres defenseman.
Yeah, actually not just Vegas. Like I was thinking about the teams that had been mentioned aggressively looking for defensemen. I think the two teams at the top of the list were probably Vegas and Winnipeg. You know, Winnipeg, there's been speculation about Winnipeg trying to get a defenseman ever since the stuff came down months ago about Byfuglien and his eventual suspension and all the stuff that was happening with him. So for me, that was part of the frustration yesterday. If the Sabres were going to make a hockey trade, not just peddling their rental guys, you would expect that it would involve a defenseman, because it's still an area where they have, even without Bogosian, even without Scandella, you've got the six here, you have Pilot in Rochester, so you would expect a trade would come from, there are guys with term who would have value, like Ristolainen and Miller. Montour would be having value, but he's an RFA. You'd think the deal would come from defense. And that, to me, was part of the frustration yesterday. It was, okay, teams that need defensemen are now, you know, you're checking them off the list. You know, the Caps got their guy, and Vegas and Winnipeg took care of their needs, and then now I'm worried that they're, you know, who out there? Florida, apparently, from what Pierre LeBrun just said, is looking for a defenseman. How many teams are left that are looking for defensemen? Because if Bottrell makes a trade by Monday, of note, it will likely involve a defenseman leaving. I'm not talking about, you know, Larson goes for a mid-round, any of the UFA forwards, like Larson, Gergensen's, the rentals. Who else? Frolik is on that list. Sherry's on that list. VC's on that list. I wouldn't expect those guys, if they're traded, would bring back anything other than a draft pick, and probably not a high draft pick either. So a trade of note, to me, would involve the defenseman. And hopefully there are still teams that are desperate for somebody on defense to help them out.
Yeah, they're not a buyer for this year, but they should be always, of course, trying to find better players. That's why The deadline, you know, like it's funny. Second and third round picks get just thrown around like coupon books.
Yeah.
All right, second round pick for this player. Second round pick for this player. And I guess the Sabres have done this as well in the offseason, right? You trade a third for Vesey. You trade a third, maybe a second and third for Connor Sherry. Or I should pull up the actual returns that the Sabres gave away for these players. That, you know, Sherry's a player that's going to get traded.
He's got value, I think.
There's your bold
prediction.
He's got
playoff experience. He's got some value. I know he hasn't scored as much as I wanted him to, but he's had some postseason success, too, when he was in Pittsburgh. Yeah, you could get something of note for a mid-round pick.
Yeah.
And you get a fourth for Connor Sherry.
I would think Sherry gets traded. I bet there are player teams interested in Larson.
Mm-hmm.
He might be worth keeping and re-signing. Gergensen's maybe. I don't know about Rodriguez. Sherry, sure.
Conditional fourth-round pick was Sherry and Hunwick for a conditional fourth-round pick.
Hunwick.
He's still here on a long-term injured reserve.
Where would this team be if they did not have injured players off the books? You know, Sobotka and
got
Hunwick.
About $7 million. Thompson's there, too. But they've got about $7 million tied up in three guys on long-term injured reserve. And then you threw in the... Bogosian essentially was...
Yeah.
You know,
all of their
cap
space is courtesy of injuries
to
players that don't contribute anyway.
Oh, yeah. They had next to nothing if you took the injured reserve guys out.
Maybe Ristolainen gets moved.
Yeah, that's why I said like, I think Monday, this look goes back to, I know you said you expected moves, but those moves would include if he's peddling a forward, an unrestricted free agent forward in a rental.
Of course, one thing you can guarantee coming up on Monday is, you know, that sounds like more of a move for the summer.
Oh, yeah.
I already
saw that this week.
Don't
from
forget,
somebody.
It's your annual pushing of all the NHL, not just the Sabres, but all NHL moves.
Yeah, it's
moves.
A league thing.
You know, that's more of a summertime thing. You know, that's more of a after July 1 thing. You know, that's more of a right around training camp kind of thing. You know, maybe that's more of a see what you got in the season kind of thing.
But the problem is, at some point, the more of a summer thing turns into, well, you know, by this time of the year, GMs are pretty good with their rosters. They want to take the camp.
Right.
And they want to see what they have. You know, they want to get the roster to camp and see what they have. All right, well, then, you know what, maybe there's a trade in season. Well, no, they like to get to, like, Christmas. They like to get to the first of the year to really get a sample size on it. But I did see that this week. It was ESPN.com. Their writers did a little roundtable. And, you know, are you expecting a big name guy to be moved at the trade deadline? And, of course, a couple of comments were, that's usually a summertime thing. This is about mostly rentals. I mean, some guys could move with term. I think, like, the biggest name left out there right now is probably Chris Kreider. But he doesn't have term left. I think he's going to be an RFA after the season. I'm not expecting a lot of big names. I don't know what to expect from the Sabres. I'm not going to get my hopes up. If there is a trade, or there are trades from the Sabres by Monday afternoon, I'm going to guess it's the free agent forwards going out. It's the playoff teams looking for rentals and willing to give up whatever, a third or fourth round pick for any one of those guys. I don't think he's moving a defenseman. I don't think he's going to make, you know, like a hockey trade with something with term coming back, with something with term going out. I just think it's going to be moving the guys that are the rentals. I'm not getting my hopes up. Because I do that all the time. And then when they don't do anything, I'd be like, all right.
You're talking about moves that are basically what happened when you have auto GM.
Yeah.
Like it's like auto draft.
Anybody could do that, right?
Auto pick, but it's auto deadline. You just shuffle off a couple of UFAs for third round picks.
Mm-hmm. You advertise Connor Sherry and say, okay, give me your best offer. And whoever gives you the highest pick, sold. You get it. And to me, that's just, you know, doesn't really make me feel any better about the future of the franchise. You know, this season for me has been shot for a month or so now. So I'm all about what are you getting for next season and beyond. And I think all of us would love to see him, you know, back to the comment from Pierre LeBrun that Florida is not necessarily looking to move Vincent Trocheck, but they're taking calls on him. All of us would love to see Jason Botchel come up with a second-line center somehow between now and Monday afternoon.
Matt writes in, I wonder how Botchel evaluated Skinner before giving him that contract. Was it he can carry a line for us, like Jack, to give us depth? Or was it if we pair him with Jack, he's a 30-40 goal scorer every year? My guess is, since he isn't with Jack, it was to carry a line. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Botchel has said he believes that Reinhardt can drive his own line. And that's the one thing the coach won't do is break up Reinhardt and Eichel.
Right.
Eichel with Skinner is a 40-goal goal, or Skinner with Eichel is a 40-goal guy. You paid him as a 40-goal guy. The coach won't do that. It is puzzling. You know, you traded for Colin Miller, and it took a long time for him to consistently get in the lineup. The coach put him in the press box. So.
Now he seems to be, I'd say he's playing his best as a Sabre at this point.
Yeah. You know, one thing about Kruger.
I got a question about the GM-coach relationship, so go ahead.
I'll give Kruger credit on a couple things. Like, yeah, you mentioned Miller's come along. You know, Dahlin looked for a little bit there like he was lost, and now he looks fine. Now, maybe that's coaching. Maybe that's Kruger got through to him in some way, or maybe it's just, you know, the superstar talent had a rough patch and figured it out.
He still is kind of young.
And I don't know if Kruger is trying to break Skinner in the way that, you know, break a horse.
Yeah, what and then remold?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, break him to build him up?
Sure. I don't know if that's what's the plan.
It's a strange plan if that's the plan. Because there was nothing worth breaking.
Right.
Doesn't like his two-way responsibility, so I got to break his game down and build it back up again?
Even that's not as bad as some would have you believe.
Yeah. It wouldn't make any sense.
I can't quite figure it out. What this season's going to end up being with the guys playing on Eichel's wing, if you had Olofsson on somebody else's wing and just had him on the power play, he would not have the goals he's going to have. He probably wouldn't get the contract he's about to get. And you could get Olofsson for cheaper.
Yeah.
Instead,
well, he's going to be over 20 goals.
Right. Yeah. And his pace is going to have been a 30-goal pace when he's probably done with the season. So what are you going to do? You're going to pay him a lot and then move him off of Jack's line and put somebody else that's cheap on Jack's line and have him in a contract year? Like, if every single year you just put somebody in a contract year on Jack Eichel's line, that's a way to inflate some salaries because Jack's going to make a lot of guys a lot of money.
It is an interesting thought. Again, who knows what the who knows what the roster is going to be like next season, what they would do with Olofsson. But here's what I would wonder about, and it's a question about the relationship between the GM and the coach, to the point that, you know, that someone had mentioned about Bottrell. And when Bottrell's trying to figure out what to do about Skinner's contract, what is he taking into account? Is he signing him because he thinks he can be a scorer without Eichel, which he was in Carolina.
And he was last year as well.
So we know he can do that.
Last year, Eichel was out for a little bit. I don't know if he missed many games, but there were a couple games where Jack was not available, and Skinner did still put on a show and still score.
So he can do that. Or did he think, I'm giving him this huge contract because, wow, Skinner with Eichel for the next 7-8 years, fan-freaking-tastic.
Well,
It
was one of the best lines in hockey.
That's what I'm asking you. So what's the dynamic? If the coach comes in and at some point says, for whatever reason that he believes there's a reason to not play Skinner with Eichel. Whether you agree or disagree, clearly he believes strongly because he hasn't played those two guys other than the odd shift every now and then. Does Bottrell go to, is it the GM's job? Can the GM go to the coach and say, listen, you have to play Skinner with Eichel? Like, how does the dynamic work when it comes to who's on what line? I'm going to guess that is a coach's decision. But if it is, why can't the GM go to Ralph Kruger and say, hey, look, especially when Olofsson was injured, look, just play Skinner up there. Let's see what happens.
Last year, Skinner, Eichel, Reinhart was the 9th best line in hockey in expected goals for.
Mm-hmm.
9th best.
Anything for what they're doing this year? Because Eichel without Skinner is having a fantastic season. And Reinhart is having another good season. So it's not like Skinner not being on that line has killed the line, because Olofsson came in, and look what Olofsson's doing as a rookie. He will probably be a finalist for the Calder Trophy. But I just don't get the whole Skinner thing. And I just think at some point, you know, what the GM goes to the coach and says, hey, listen, why don't you try Skinner with Eichel? And then the GM has to at some point go, well, you know what? Give it a shot, because the guy's game is dying.
Well, I guess this is Kruger's point about it's not about Skinner, it's about
the team.
But this, yeah. I guess what I'm getting at here is where maybe there's friction, but I would think it would create friction. This year, Olofsson, Eichel, Reinhart, about the same spot.
Okay.
I'm ninth, I'm counting down to 1, 2, 3. But the point is, you paid that guy, you can give him that spot, and I guess it's a way to artificially lower Olofsson's next contract. But if you're the GM, I went and made this move, and then the coach says, great, he's never going to see 40 goals.
Yeah, see, that's a problem from the GM.
Whatever, if you win games, you can get over that, but if you're stuck in 24th place all the time, you know, the focus, the spotlight comes back in on all of the moves that you made. Well, you did this, you gave this guy $9 million a year. How smart was that? If you're in first, nobody cares.
Right.
Not to say nobody cares that Skinner has 11 goals.
It's not a hot talking point.
No, not as much.
Look, if you're Bottrell, and I don't think, you know, the whole thing about does Botra go to Kruger and say, listen, you got to play Jeff on the top line. I just paid him, a gazillion million dollars. I don't, I would not do that. You know, if it's, this is not, well, Botchel knows he's going to catch heat. Like Skinner's got, what has he got, 11 goals? So, you know, Botchel's going to get ripped. He's going to get ripped by the media. He's going to get ripped by the fans. Why did you give out that big contract? What are you doing? You overpaid Jeff Skinner. Oh my God, I've got to put Skinner on the top line because I'm getting criticized by everybody. No, that's not it. I mean, I don't need the GM to say, let's play Jeff up there because I'm getting criticized because I'm the guy that gave him the big contract. I would think the GM, I need him to say, well, Olofsson's out. What would you say? 28th best since October is the record for this franchise?
Yeah.
Okay, so this season they're in 28th place basically since the end of October, since the 8-1-1 start. The guy who's on Jack's line and is performing well is injured, ends up missing 15 games. The season is on the brink. You are trying to get back in the race. Pre-bye week, post-bye week, critical games. And Skinner is in the longest goal-scoring drought of his entire National Hockey League career. It's not about saving face, in my opinion, for the general manager. It was, at that time, what was best for the team. What was best for the team was to have more than one line score. And if Skinner goes up there and scores, you could have left him there if you wanted to. Now, that doesn't necessarily make a second line scoring, but you would hopefully maybe get some confidence back in the guy and say, okay, now, go play with Lazar,
well,
or Erod or whoever the heck you're playing him with.
When you refuse to play him with Eichel and you refuse to break up Eichel with Reinhart, that means that he will not play with either of the best forwards.
Right. You're not flip-flopping the wingers and going, okay, Jeff, you go up there, Sam, you drop on the right side.
So if you were to rank the forwards, he'll never play with Eichel, he'll never play with Reinhart he'll never play with Olofsson.
Yeah.
Those are three guys he'll never play with.
And he's not getting the next best power.
And the next best forward is Johansson, who's on the wing. So his best is, well, you should say his best.
Well,
he's
now on the wing. Yeah, right. But your center options after that for Skinner are basically Rodriguez, Lazar, or Johan Larsson.
And he actually did all right with Larsson.
You know what? Then fine. So put him with Larsson. You know, I just, and again, how much time has he had on, he doesn't have a single power play goal. So maybe that's, guys, why put him on the top power play? He hasn't scored on the power play all year. I'm just trying to find ways to help this guy get a goal at this point, because that would have been better for the team if he went on a goal-scoring stretch, a tear. Maybe some of these close losses you've had to Ottawa or Montreal or whoever, even some of the losses before the bye, maybe you win some of those one-goal games that you're losing if Skinner started scoring again.
I'm at moneypuck.com tossing in line combinations. The number one scoring line for the Sabres this year is Olofsson, Eichel, Reinhart. Of course, they've got 29 goals as a line. I guess this must be even strength. I'll give you $100 if you give me the second highest combination. Three players at forward that have the second most goals as a line.
Larsson, Oposo, and Gergensens. Well, they got like 20? maybe they don't have. Well, maybe they wouldn't have come all together.
This, again, MoneyPuck.com has Skinner, Johansson, and Sobotka.
Eight goals. Wow. Oh, you're kidding. No way. No, that can't be right. Eight? Gergensens, Larsson, and Oposo have more than that, but it doesn't mean all their goals would not have come together as a line.
I mean, this is listed as a line. They played 153 minutes together.
Eight? The second best line here has eight goals?
How about the log line? How many they have?
That's what I'm saying.
The log line when it was together has
glow line.
It is listed Gergensen, Larsson, and Oposo as six. VZ Eichel, Reinhardt has six.
Oh.
Sherry Rodriguez, Skinner has just offensive line. Anyway, I'm just playing around with Money Puck, so I'm not sure.
I would have thought they would have had more, the log line together.
There you go. Skinner misses Sobotka. What's your answer?
So Sobotka getting injured is where the season went down the tubes. He was the irreplaceable piece. Actually, he wasn't playing that bad when he got hurt. Relatively speaking.
Compared to the year before.
Right, which was horrible. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. You can share your thoughts on our discussion. If there's anything else you want to get to, that's fine too. We are always open for your thoughts on other issues in the world of sports, local and national. When we get back, Pat Malacaro will join us. He was in Ottawa last night. We'll go through last night's game with him. The roast is coming up a week from Thursday. We still have tickets available. If you want to go see Eric Wood get roasted by some of his former teammates, you can go to Buffalo River. Well, actually, go to our website first, and then you can go to Buffalo River Works for the roast. WGR550.com. Fred Jackson will be there. EJ Manuel, Brian Brom, roasting. We'll have some other celebrities on hand as well. And you can be there. If you've gone to the, if you've gone to previous roasts, I hope you've enjoyed them. We always have a good time at these events. They're always filled with a lot of laughter. We hope to see you again. If you've never been to a roast, but you hear us talking about it, this is the year you should go. Get some friends and go get tickets at WGR550.com. Or you now you can get general admission, or you can get the Pella VIP tickets. Then you will have access to a little get-together there with all the celebrities before the actual event begins. The roast is brought to you by Liberty Cab, Seneca Poker inside the Seneca Niagara Casino, and by Pella Windows and Doors with support from Bud Light, Country Suite, it's all about the sauce, Dr. Byers Buffalo Optical and Value Vision, today's hottest eyewear at the best value, by Vera's Dry Cleaning, and also by Rachel's Mediterranean Grill.
Don't miss color analyst Rob Ray, the former Saber, takes you inside the locker room when he joins Shope and the Bulldog game days at 4 p.m. on the home of the Buffalo Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
What you got to do, and just play the game the right way. And at the same time, it's only two goals. I mean, it's only two shots. So I think we did an okay effort. It just wasn't good enough.
Victor Olofsson and the Sabres lose in Ottawa last night. We'll get some headlines, and we'll talk a little bit more about the game with Pat Malacaro coming up in just a moment. 7-4, the final. The Sabres scored the first two goals of the game. Hey, it's snowing. So they went up 2-0 in the first half of the first period, and then Ottawa had 4 goals in 3 minutes and 29 seconds. The Sabres got 2 goals from Brandon Montour. Oposo scored. Olofsson scored. Rough night for Carter Hutton. And it all amounted to a 7-4 loss. Third loss to the Senators this season for Buffalo, who are back in action at Pittsburgh on Saturday afternoon. Shots on goal stats brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey to the Misfits, Black Sheep, and Screwballs. This one's for you. 40-27, the shots in favor of the Ottawa Senators. Toronto lost last night, and so did Montreal. So let's get you the updated NHL standings. Another part of the frustration of last night was you could have pulled within 6 points of third-place Toronto. The Leafs have 70 points. The Florida Panthers have 68. The Sabres have 62. Toronto's on a 94-point pace at this point. So Sabre fans, to get to 95, they would need 33 points in their final 22 games. 15-5-4-3. 14-3-5, something of that kind of combination at this point to get into third in the division. Number of trades yesterday, defensemen moving around the league, including former Sabre Marco Scandella, who was traded from Montreal to St. Louis for a 2020 second-round pick. San Jose sent Brendan Dillon to Washington for a 2020 second-rounder. And Dylan DeMello, traded by Ottawa to Winnipeg for a third-round pick in the next draft. Vegas, according to TSN, is working on acquiring Alec Martinez, defenseman from Los Angeles. And TSN also reports the Pegulas have no plans on hiring a president of hockey operations. Greg Olsen picked Seattle. The free agent tight end agrees to a one-year deal with the Seahawks. The Bills and Washington were also in negotiations with him. Drew Brees will be back with New Orleans for another season. John Beilein steps down as head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And UB beat Ball State in men's hoops last night, 72-59. Good news on the recovery for Ryan Newman. After that nasty crash at Daytona on Sunday, he was awake yesterday in the hospital and talking with members of his family and the medical staff. Hey, the UB women are home tonight, and they will take on Akron at 7 o'clock. If you'd like tickets, call 1-877-UB-THERE. Headlines brought to you by the Steve Foley Law Firm, injury justice for injury victims. Call 249-2222. Pat Malacaro is joining us on our Western Hotline. He was in Ottawa last night for the Sabres game. Pat, good morning. How are you, sir, today?
Oh, that's not too bad, Howard. Good to join you guys.
Well, it started well, right? I mean, 10 minutes in, nobody would have, right? You wouldn't have predicted two goals from Brandon Montour.
No, and, you know, that the Sabres had a good jump. It's one of the things that kind of was lacking in their losses recently was letting the other team kind of get that first jump on them and put the Sabres in a 2-3 goal hole. And all of a sudden, the Sabres are up 2-0. You're thinking, all right, that they might be able to put a string together here, and maybe, you know, there's a long ways to go, but the things were trending in the right direction. And then, as Kyle Oposo said, you know, they kind of let off the gas for a moment, and the wheels just fell right off.
Yeah, I was wondering what, you know, four goals and 3:29, they were coming so fast you couldn't keep track of them. What were the general comments from the players after the game as you spoke to them to explain what happened in that stretch?
Yeah, they just felt like they just kind of were, you know, that power play that Ottawa scored on, the shorthanded goal, that kind of just snowballed quickly, and it got way away from the Sabres before anybody even had an answer for it. You know, you hate to hear that, but it's kind of the feeling in the room is that everybody was just stunned at what happened. Even the three goals that happened in what a minute and a half or so that really capped things off.
It was not a good night for Carter Hutton. Pat, it seemed like, you know what, this game looked like the game that the Sabres and Carter Hutton were having when he was losing 12 straight, where, you know, he just couldn't stop any big saves or make any key saves. And you look up at the scoreboard and it's 4-5, now 6 goals. It was one of those nights for him.
It really was. And the first goal, you know, it's the shorthanded goal for Ottawa. It just kind of leaks through him and finds its way in the net. And a couple more were like that, where, you know, he was kind of out of position. Even, you know, Montour making the save late in the third period when he dove to the far corner of the post, where Hutton's kind of out of position and Montour has to knock the puck away. So Ralph Kruger, when we're talking to him post game, it didn't sound like he was thinking about making a goaltender change. I know that was, you know, a question of would he do that just to try and wake the team up, you know, try and get things going after those four goals or even going into the second period. But didn't seem like that was something that they were thinking about doing. And unfortunately for Hutton, you know, a lot of those goals he'll want back.
I didn't think about it at all, and I think I think it's because Johansson's here, not Linus Ullmark. Did you think at all after the fourth goal that he might pull Hutton at that point?
I thought about it briefly, but, you know, when I was talking to Joe about it during the intermission, just because Jonas Johansson is so raw and still so young, you saw some of the things that he still has to work on. So I was expecting Carter Hutton to start the second period, but I guess there was that small possibility in the back of my mind that just maybe just to try and, change things up and just get something going their way, he might try and put Jonas Johansson in. But, you know, the Sabres, they played well later in the game. As I thought the third period, they were the better team again. It's another game where they're the better team when they're behind. But, you know, you just put yourself in that big of a hole and they just couldn't crawl out of it.
Well, they did a better job in the third period, I thought, in their own zone. It was a rough night for them in their own end, especially around the net, and they seemed to do a better job in the third period of limiting the chances. But again, like you said, you weren't getting saves, you weren't doing enough to keep Ottawa from scoring. One of them was the power play goal, which leads me to my next question. The two penalties that I wanted to bring up. The first one, and I don't know if this was brought up with Ralph Kruger after the game, the Ron Hainsey hook on Marcus Johansson, to me, looked like a clear penalty shot. Was that brought up? And if it was, did Ralph give any explanation, like what the officials said to him?
No, we didn't get an explanation from him about that. But you're right. It's one of those where, especially with the way that penalty shots are, it seems like they're given out a lot easier in the NHL these days. And that it just seemed like a no-brainer. And then to have Ottawa go down and score the goal to make it 2-1 instead of potentially being 3-0 if you get that goal right there. So yeah, it's it should have been a penalty shot, I think, for sure.
And then the McCabe penalty ends up with the Pageau power play goal that basically gives him the two-goal lead. And it, if they wanted to call anything, it would have been a cross-check. He never hooked the guy. But even then, it didn't look. It was a little shove from behind, and they seemed to get that one wrong too.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's kind of a trend where the officiating, I think in all sports, we've seen it where it's gotten diminished in some extent. And maybe just the official looking at the play saw the way Pageau was moving towards the net, thought he saw something. And, you know, how many times do you see that? But, you know, it's a spot there where you're hoping the team can kill off the penalty. And like you said, they couldn't. And that kind of was the final blow for the Sabres.
The Skinner watch continues. I think it's at 22 now. Boy, Pat, I mean, I thought, first off, you can let me know what you thought of his overall game last night. I thought for sure on that first chance that ends up being the first Montour goal, I thought for sure that Skinner was going to score there. If not on the first shot, he had looked like a pretty good chance on the rebound as he whacked away at it.
Yeah, great hand-eye coordination by Skinner there, and he creates that opportunity for Montour. You're right. I mean, it's another game where you sit back and you say there's probably 2, 3, 4 chances that Skinner had to score. But you're still sitting here, you know, on the other side, Ottawa had Anthony Duclair. He was 21 games without a goal. He ends up getting the empty netter, and maybe that's just what he needs to kind of get him going now. So maybe it's just a goal that bounces off of a Skinner skate coming up or something like that, because everything else he's doing doesn't seem to want to go in for him. And I still believe that, you know, being a pure goal scorer the way he is, we've seen his body of work before. This is just an unfortunate slump for him right now, and I don't think it, you know, would linger on to next season or anything like that. So you just got to hope that something finally goes in for him, you know, luck-wise or whatever.
We were just talking in the headlines about the standings, Pat, and I think, you know, everybody knows for this team to make the playoffs, it would take a hellacious run the rest of the season, plus three other teams have to cooperate and not play well. But they would have pulled, I don't know if they knew that Toronto had lost or not after the game. They would have pulled within 6 of the Leafs. Were any of the guys talking a little bit about the missed opportunity last night? And I'm sure, I mean, it's Ottawa. You should be able to beat them, although they've now lost 3 games to them this season. Anybody talking about the opportunity that went by the boards last night at all?
Yeah, they definitely, regardless of what Toronto did, just knowing that, just keeping pace with a team like Toronto or Florida and a game against Ottawa, these are games that you just have to win. And I think the word unacceptable came up at one point, you know, just losing a game like that after such a good start and really feeling like the team was onto something finally after winning 3 straight. You go on the road for the first of, 6 of the next 7 on the road. So unacceptable was the word that was used, and it was a pretty deflated locker room after the game.
It's funny too, Pat, you know, when you look at the season – prior to this road trip that you just referenced, the home record was keeping them going this season. They played really well at home. They've been just disastrous at times on the road. Then they get that stretch of 9 of 10 at home coming out of the break, and they go 4-4-1. But now, lately, they up until last night, they have been playing better on the road, and that's another part of the frustration. They seemingly were getting their game together away from home, and then last night they end up giving up 7.
Yeah, and it kind of was, after the first 2 goals, everything kind of was going wrong. So it's unfortunately, it's just kind of where they're at right now. And, you know, they've got Pittsburgh on Saturday, which you saw is not an easy opponent, no matter how many injuries they have right now. So they have a day off today to kind of rest and recharge, and we'll have 2 days of practice to try and figure out how to get back in the win column.
Well, one bright spot, Victor Olofsson scored the Victor Olofsson goal that we've come to know so well this season.
Yeah, a beautiful power play goal. I thought, you know, for the most part, I thought the power play kind of was kept to the outside throughout the course of the game. Ottawa was doing a good job of keeping the puck away from the net, but that was a good move by Eichel to Dahlin to the point, and then Olofsson just, you know, with a great shot like we've seen this year, and they tried setting it up a couple other times, and, you know, at least he gets one, but definitely special teams power play was something that besides the Olofsson goal, probably they would like to clean up too.
All right, Pat. Thanks for coming on with us this morning. Appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, Howard.
Pat Malacara with us on the Western Hotline with the latest on the Sabres off their loss. It is a 2-game weekend. both matinee games. So there you go. You got a 1 o'clock game Saturday in Pittsburgh, and then an afternoon game at home on Sunday at 2 o'clock against the Winnipeg Jets.
7 years ago today,
where are we, 2020?
Was blank.
2013. What's the
date? You want to think about it over the break?
I do need to think about it. What's the date? February.
You'll all remember. You'll remember. I'm going to tease this the right way. 7 years ago today.
That's fine. Don't tease anything else.
Was blank. Yeah. You will remember it. So, have you figured it out?
No.
7 years ago today was blank.
My guess was Lindy getting fired.
Okay.
But I'm incorrect, apparently, right?
Why are you incorrect?
I thought Brayton told me I was incorrect. No? Lindy getting fired.
So it was 7 years ago tomorrow.
Oh, Lindy got fired 7 years ago tomorrow. So that would make today the 7-year anniversary of?
His last game that he coached.
Yes. Lindy's last game with the Sabres.
Do you remember who it was?
Winnipeg. Do you want to know how I remember who it was?
Okay, wait a minute.
What the score was, and I remember who scored the goal.
Wow.
And the question is, do you remember why I remember that?
I know, that's why I'm trying to... Who would have scored the goal that would have made you remember that game? Wow. The last game Lindy coached against Winnipeg. I feel bad because I feel like I should remember it after you gave me the significant clues you just gave me. Who would have scored the goal? Would have made you angry.
Didn't make me angry.
Oh, angry. Who scored the goal? I don't know.
Jason Pominville scored the only goal. Why do I remember that Jason Pominville scored the only goal of a game against Winnipeg on what was probably a Tuesday 7 years ago?
Oh, because that was the night that you ran the goal horn.
Yep.
I'm out of fire today.
That's right. You got Lindy fired when you ran the goal horn.
I got to push the button for the goal horn one time and the coach got fired.
He scored
one goal.
That was a disaster.
It was a life thrill, though. Hit that button.
How long did you hold it? Do you remember? Did you go with blast, or was it a long?
I think I went with...
You have the ability to control that, so
yeah,
you could go with a short
blast. As you
hold
it down, it keeps going.
Or you just go with the long...
You know, I would have liked to have worked on the craft over a couple of goals.
I got one.
I only got one.
Very, very little margin of error for you to figure out which one do I like best. Hey, guys, score... At least three, because I'm going to use the first two to test out short blast versus long one.
Yeah.
And then in the third one, I can go back to the one I like, and they didn't really follow through. So it's really their fault. Man, you got Lindy fired.
Well, hey.
Shame on you.
Which is funnier, that at one point I got to push the goal horn and they scored one goal, or the night that they were going to try out Swords of 1,000 Men and they got shut out.
That's funnier. That's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's an NHL game. There aren't a ton of goals. You could go and say, all right, I only got one goal to push the horn on.
Speaking of a little bit of Sabres history, I was going through, we're doing a lot of cleaning out of stuff in the house, and I found the commemorative program for the first Niagara Center's first game. When they switched it from HSBC to First Niagara Center, there was a little thing like, a night of firsts, welcome to the First Niagara Center.
Was it around when the Pagulas took over, or when was it?
I think so, yes.
I'm trying to remember when they changed the naming rights over.
Carolina.
Yeah, okay.
And the name has been switched since again.
Yeah, Marine Midland, HSBC, First Niagara. Okay, so hey, I actually remembered the event. There's... You know, with my memory as bad as it is right now, that's pretty good. I get partial credit.
Lindy getting fired was... I was supposed to be off that day.
Were you really? I'm trying to recall.
Didn't you say you were going to Syracuse or something like that?
I think I did go to Syracuse.
Did you? Okay.
And then I came back because he didn't get fired in the morning.
No, were they going to Toronto? They were going out of town that afternoon.
They went to Toronto for the very next game.
Darcy went to his house or something. I'm trying to remember how it all came down.
I can give you that exact. So
yeah, they were going to bus up to Toronto.
Yep. Well,
weren't they?
That game's February 19th. Lindy gets fired on the 20th. They play the Leafs on the 21st.
Yeah,
But he gets fired on the 20th. Would have been after our show because I did go to Syracuse.
Okay.
And my plan was to spend the night in Syracuse after a Syracuse basketball game. But Lindy getting fired was, well, I got to go back and go to work because
holy crap.
You don't miss Lindy yeah. Ruff get fired.
Right. I remember I was still going to school at ECC, and I got out of class, got in the car, and I was listening to Mike and Chris talking. And all of a sudden, Mike was just like, wait a minute, hold on. Is this for real? Is this happening right now? And then he said, like, Lindy Ruff just got fired. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
There weren't check marks on Twitter then, were there?
Maybe. I don't remember. Twitter was just whatever back then.
It was shocking. It was
it's not the social media platform stunning. That it is today.
Yeah. I don't know. I missed our Tuesday morning chats with Lindy. Who sometimes we could rub the wrong way. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. We're taking your calls on the Sabres. We were also talking about Greg Olsen signing with the or agreeing to a contract with the Seattle Seahawks. Whether you think the Bills should go and look for another tight end in free agency. And if there's anything else on your mind, you can join us here and let us know. And we'll continue on with that. Hey, it's Wednesday. Hopefully you tweeted us today. We want to give you a chance to win a gift certificate, $25 gift certificate to Jim's Steakout. All you need to do as part of Hoagie Hump Day is tweet at WGR550 and use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day. It is that simple. So one lucky person will get that $25 gift certificate, again, good for use at Jim's Steakout. To become eligible, tweet at WGR550 and use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day.
Just to follow up on what Brayton was saying real quick, Tim tweeted in, the announcement of the firing occurred while Bulldog was in the middle of a rant about the Sabres holding status quo.
Okay, so then. Well, that worked. Like,
wait. Lindy's been fired.
How about the so?
Oh, all right.
Well, Darcy started to hear the rant and thought, you know, I'm gonna have to fire Lindy now. You know, now that's a rant.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.